Welcome to the Ministry Marks Podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors.
Hey, David.
What is up, Thomas?
Nothing much. Just hanging out.
Just hanging out. Just being your usual cool self, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, have you ever thought that somebody was kind of robotic? You ever thought about that?
Oh, man, yes. I have. Yep.
Yeah. You know, so I remember way back when there was a cartoon I used to love to watch, Transformers. It was Robots in Disguise. Remember that show?
Yes. I love the Transformers.
Absolutely. So, Thomas, today's podcast topic is, well, it's kind of like that. We're going to be talking about robots in the pulpit.
I've seen some robots in the pulpit before.
Have you really?
Yes, they sounded like robots. They didn't move like the Tin Man. Maybe they got rained on up there. There was just a lot of dead lifelessness to them.
In today's discussion, we're not talking about robots like we might be thinking. We're going to be talking about the newest form of robots, which is AI.
AI, and AI stands for artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence may be kind of robotic. And here's a question that I think we're going to answer throughout today's podcast. Is AI affecting preaching, and is AI affecting churches? What do you think, Thomas?
I think we would agree that AI has kind of consumed much of our world today. Kind of came on the scene a few years ago, right? And it's changed so much of our culture already. But really, before it got popular, we were using AI before it got popular.
Yes, I believe that we were.
Because, I mean, you think about your phone, even your iPhone. If you've had an iPhone, and even before you knew that ChatGPT was a real thing or that there was something out there called AI, do you remember when your phone would take a picture and it would tell you what kind of plant that was?
Yep, I sure do.
That was AI.
I remember the first time I saw that. I was pastoring in Trinity Baptist Church. There were a group of us guys that got together once a month, and we would go eat breakfast. We were leaving one of those restaurants. One of the guys said, "Oh, look at that plant." And then there was a little bit of a discussion. Is that a this or is that a that? And then someone said, "Well, hold on, I'll tell you what it is." He pulled his phone out, got close to a leaf, and said, "It is such and such type of plant." I remember thinking, "That is so weird." But yes.
But that's AI learning. That was that AI system looking at that photo and measuring those leaves or whatever it was against a database. That is AI.
That is right. And we enjoy AI to some extent. My wife and I could pull up a YouTube video, she on her phone, me on my phone. The YouTube video be the same, but our ads that would be generated would be different because of her Google searches versus my Google searches. And I don't want to see a commercial about something that she might want to watch. She don't want to see a commercial about deer hunting or bass fishing or whatever. And so we enjoy artificial intelligence when it benefits us.
I agree. And on Facebook, social media, AI has been used on social media for a while. It used to be that if you put a graphic up on Facebook, Facebook could not read anything you put in the graphic.
Okay.
And so people were getting around that. They would make a graphic of trying to sell a gun or something like that. But then years ago, you couldn't do that anymore because Facebook could then read the words like in a graphic, like in a picture.
Okay.
If you put a word on the picture,
yeah,
it finally got to the ability to read it. That is AI. And yeah. I use AI all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have church members ask me sometime about AI. They're like, is AI the mark of the beast?
Uh-huh. Is it the Antichrist?
Is it the Antichrist?
Yeah.
The Antichrist.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I'm like, listen, I use AI. I do. I use AI in my photography.
Uh-huh. So tell me more about that.
So in Photoshop, what used to take me hours, let's just say that I wanted to cut a person out of a photograph, mm-hmm. it would take hours of taking this little tool and you would like begin to mark these lines and mask, and you would have to go around the person's hair, every strand of hair. You would have to go around the person's ears and all of the things. And it could take hours, hours to get it right. And now with AI, all I do is I hit select subject, remove background, and it takes less than 10 seconds to do what used to take some people, if they were doing it professionally, it would take them 20 or 30 hours to do.
Wow, that's crazy.
They can do it in less than 10 seconds.
Wow, so a week's worth or a half week's work is now down to seconds.
Exactly, and AI is able to do that. So not all AI is bad, and not all use of AI is bad.
Sure.
But I think we would recognize that there are some limits to it. And I guess one of the things we're trying to do is answer that question, right? Where is that limit of AI use when it comes to ministry?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Robots in the pulpit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how can a preacher use AI? How can a pastor use AI? How can the church
use AI. You know, Thomas, I would think that every pastor, whether he thinks he is or not, is using AI to some extent. Whenever a person there at my church were to ask, hey, what were the 12 sons of Jacob, what were their names? I don't know that from my memory bank, so I will Google. And AI will help generate very quickly those names. I think we use it to answer biblical questions. I think we use it to answer biblical background. Because, dude, I'm not thoroughly refreshed upon all the settings of Old Testament passages. Did the book of Ruth align during the book of Judges? Well, I think so, but let me search very quickly. And then it will generate an answer very quickly based on biblical passages that would take me much longer to go through and to decide or to remember what I once knew. And so I think pastors use AI. I think that churches use AI. Churches use AI in their correspondence, in their emails. Churches use AI probably in video announcements or in announcements on the screen. ChatGPT just arranges things so very well. Thomas, we've used AI in preparation for our podcast, correct?
We have. And we've asked it questions before, like, what are some topics for a podcast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it would give us all kinds of topics. We've asked it to define something for us, and it has defined it. Now, we allow that to go through our own mental processes, and we change a little bit here and there of that. But we do ask it to do some research for us so that we don't have to. The one that comes to mind most recently was the soul-sucking ministry.
Soul-grabbing ministry. That's right. That was so strange.
That was so strange. And, you know, I've thought about that afterwards. I wonder if it made it up.
Oh, I wonder.
Because, you know, AI can hallucinate. It wants to answer our questions, and it could have hallucinated that there is a such thing as a soul-grabbing ministry where people, I don't know how else I would be able to look it up.
Right. Oh, yeah, without utilizing AI.
Without using AI. Right. But it was very interesting, and I think probably one of our more popular podcasts because of the weirdness factor of it.
Yeah, so
but
strange.
Hey, the church. Churches are using AI, as you said, emails. And I know a guy, he's the executive pastor of a pretty large church in Birmingham. And he told me, I ain't going to say who it is, but he said that, hey, we got a staff member. He's the executive pastor. And he said, we've got a staff member who is great. Everybody loves him. He is on fire for Jesus. He loves people. He's doing a great job in ministry, but he can't spell for nothing.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And so they have purchased the AI writing thing so that it will check his emails and help correct his emails of grammatical mistakes before he sends them.
That is interesting. Kind of like Grammarly or something like that.
That's right. They're using the AI of Grammarly.
Yeah,
the Grammarly AI to help this guy.
That is something.
on fire for Jesus, love everything about him except for his spelling.
All right, Thomas, I want to pick your brain specifically. You were a professor at Blue Mountain Christian University, full-time professor for 5 academic years, correct?
Yes.
Your first academic year started in the fall of 2020, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so basically in fall of 2020, AI either wasn't a thing or wasn't used as much. Was it a thing?
I don't believe it was. ChatGPT was not a thing.
Okay, yeah. All right.
ChatGPT was officially launched on November the 30th, 2022.
Okay, 2022. So it was after you went to Blue Mountain. Okay,
definitely.
So I know
yes.
I've taught a few classes as an adjunct professor for New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. The Extension Center director at BMCU is top notch. And so
he's a handsome guy too.
I wouldn't go that far. but he has definitely helped me in seeing if AI has aided a student. So in your time at Blue Mountain College, you started before ChatGPT was a thing. You ended being a full-time professor after it was a thing. Did you ever have a student cheat?
All the time.
Wow.
I found them all the time.
Yeah.
Every semester after ChatGPT. So it was released November 30th, 2022. It was probably not until mid-spring semester of 23. So you're looking at three or four months. By that time, the news had really gotten out that there was a generative AI system that would write for you. Mm-hmm. And then it became so used by the students. It really began to change the way professors design their classes, the assignments that they asked, and the way they asked those students to complete them. It was pretty easy to detect early on because of the writing style. It became more complex and more difficult to detect later on. You know, my dissertation is on style in preaching. So style, not necessarily in the way a delivery, like a person's platform presence per se, but their style, the way they think and how they put words together and how long their sentences are, the style of their grammar, it's really based upon the way they think. The way they think then comes over on the way that they speak. And you can see that. You can measure that in people's writings and in their speech.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I remember whenever I was serving as adjunct for New Orleans, students would submit papers. And the paper should sound like the student. You know, whenever you pick that paper up, it ought to sound like you're talking with, here's what, Dustin Long. You and I both had Dustin as a student.
Yes.
We love Dustin. And whenever I picked up Dustin's paper, it ought to sound like Dustin. And it did.
And you can almost hear Dustin's voice.
You can hear him talking. That's it. As you're reading through, like, man, that's just like Dustin's reading this paper to me. Yes, it is the most interesting thing in the life of a professor reading a multi-page paper that a student submits.
So, but then once you introduce AI to it, you can hear another voice.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different. It loses something. It loses voice. It loses character. And there's other ways to measure it. I'm not going to say it on the podcast because I don't want students to hear this and begin to
cheat,
to fake me out, you know, but there's other ways that I would be able to look at a piece of writing to determine if it was AI. Of course, there are other ways. You can actually use AI to determine if AI was used in the writing.
Yeah.
It was a big problem. And I think it's going to continue to be a big problem in the educational realm, but also in many other businesses and factors. I think it's going to be an issue for the church moving forward, especially when it comes to like sermons.
I agree. So one thing that you and I both do is we preach every week. We preach multiple times every week. Now, I understand a Bible study, what I'm going to call a Wednesday night Bible study, it's not the same as a sermon. And there are some people who do not develop a sermon the way that you and I develop sermons. But if you're going to develop a sermon, you need to have a plan. And the development of a sermon usually includes an introduction, Then it develops an idea. You preach through a passage, you develop an idea, and then there's a conclusion. So what current students may be doing, they may be using AI to write introductions, development, body, and then conclusion, and they never develop that skill set themselves, and that will harm them in life, not just in preaching, but of course, anywhere throughout the workforce, you need to be able to communicate in an articulate way. And if you never develop the ability to state a reason, state an argument, state the development of a thought process, you will hinder your upward mobility in the secular workforce. And as preachers, if a person simply types in a handful of sentences and asks AI to generate an outline or to even generate points or a sermon, they are greatly diminishing the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what God could do through their personality. They're shortchanging themselves.
That's exactly right. I think they're looking for shortcuts. They're shortchanging themselves and they're taking away all of their dependence upon God, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It becomes something that is just pieced together. It becomes a formula that is used to get up and then present or to perform in front of another person. And there's no real dealing with the text. There's no Holy Spirit dealing with the pastor over it.
That's right.
It becomes a dead, lifeless sermon.
That's right. I sent you a meme before we recorded this podcast earlier today, and it was the picture was of an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg was exposed, and it said the sermon. And then probably 90-95% of the iceberg was under the water. And beside that portion of the iceberg, it said the preparation. The sermon is only a portion of it, but in the AI realm, the sermon is 95% of it. And there's almost no preparation.
How long does it take you to prepare a sermon?
Okay, so I've studied this, you know, which I have timed myself multiple times. And so for a 35 minute sermon, it usually takes me 8 hours of preparation. That's how long it is to me. Sometimes it may go a little quicker, let's say six and a half hours. Sometimes maybe a little bit longer, but on average, a 30 minute sermon takes 8 hours work.
I think that's true for me too. I'm going to put it somewhere between 7 to 8, somewhere around 8. And so for 8 hours, we're preparing for one sermon, and that one sermon is 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So definitely the bottom of the iceberg is spent in preparation.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that, I mean, let's just say we're not saying that AI shouldn't be used at all. We recognize the benefits of AI when it comes to saving time, but AI can help you save time, but it can't save a soul.
Amen. That's what I was supposed to say, and I forgot. Yes, that is right. Yeah, and I understand that AI can be useful. It can be. All right, so let's take this back a little bit in our minds, Thomas. So I think in generations gone by, people did what some might consider cheating. Where we are in North Mississippi, the great Adrian Rogers preached every week on one of the Memphis channels, and you could watch Bellevue Baptist. There's no telling how many people patterned their sermons, patterned their preaching style after Adrian Rogers, maybe even borrowed or even stole some from him. And I think to some extent that's okay. All right. I'm going to tell you a story that I'm going to leave the gentleman's name out. He has been dead almost a decade now, but he was a fantastic pastor. Fantastic preacher. He and I were fishing one day up at Pickwick, and he was an older man. He was already retired. And we were fishing in Pickwick one day, and we got off on sermon development. And he said this, he said, I ain't gonna lie to you. I never build my own outlines. Now, I always build my outlines. That's why they're so bad. If anybody else were to build them, they'd be much better. And I said to him, I said, why don't you build your outlines? He said, I'm not good at it. He said, honestly, he said, it'd take me 3 or 4 hours to build an outline. And he said, I always borrow other outlines. Like they're really good commentaries. They're really good outlining books that he would borrow from. And he would only use the outlines. He would use the title and the points, I guess, title, passage, point. But then he would build the points. He would build the sermon himself. And he said, it's just the way that he was built. It would take so long. It wasn't worth his time. So even that brother who retired years ago from the pastor and is now deceased, he would probably right now, he would use AI to generate an outline. He would probably maybe give it a thought. This is what I think about this passage. Give me, you know, a title and 3 points. He would probably utilize it and he would not think it was cheating. For me, I would think it is cheating. For me to use something like AI for a substantial part of a sermon, I would not feel right in doing that. I would think I'm negating what God has called me to do to build the sermon from scratch. But there are many others who utilize AI in a way that they are fine with doing so.
So what would be a good way to use AI in sermon preparation? So I make my own outlines. I use a rhetorical-based way to do that. Bryson and Taylor's book, Building Sermons to Meet People's Needs. It's a rhetorical idea where you figure out the main point of the text, the main point of the sermon, and then you ask like a question, like a probing question to that. So I build that, and then I answer the question, and I write down sentences. I write down sentences. And so the sentence may be 4 or 5 words long, but I don't like to preach that way. Mm-hmm. And so at some point along the way, I try to make them verbal statements. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being something that is noun-based, I try to make it verb-based. Yeah, like
action.
Action. Right.
Yeah.
Remember your past. Mm-hmm. Look to the future. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes what I do when I begin to write those verbal statements to encompass what is there, uh-huh. I like to alliterate.
Yeah. Alliteration means that you're hearing from the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I will ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
For synonyms.
Gotcha.
This is my word.
Yep.
I'll say, give me a synonym for this word that begins with R. Mm-hmm. And what used to take me hours or minutes.
Minutes. You know, yeah.
15, 20 minutes of going through the
thesaurus. Easy for me to say.
To go through a thesaurus or to look at it online. Now, because of AI, it will spit me out. Like 3 or 4 different things that I can use, and then I can choose one that is beneficial. So I use ChatGPT as a thesaurus for synonyms.
Yeah, and that is A-okay fine. Absolutely.
We at Ingomar Baptist Church, we've used AI to make graphics before. We actually took a picture of the church and we put it in AI and we told an AI generative model to convert it to a watercolor.
Oh,
and it converted this picture over to a watercolor that we could use for like a watercolor painting that we could use for a promotional thing.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever goes to the Ministry Marks website, which is ministrymarks.com, and you look at our podcast links that are on our website of ministrymarks.com, you will see that there are pictures that go with these topics. Or you can see that on the Facebook page too. That's AI.
Yeah.
I'm not drawing those things.
Yeah.
I go to AI and I say, give me a picture of AI preaching in the pulpit.
Yeah.
And it's gonna drop me out a picture of that. Probably I'm going to ask for a robot preaching behind a pulpit in a church.
For this one.
And it's going to spit that out and I'm just gonna post it and it's gonna take all the time of about 2 or 3 minutes.
That's right. That's right. So recently at First Baptist Church, we have our social media director who is top notch, by the way. She's also my wife.
I was going to say, what is she?
My social media director, our social media director has designed a new website for the church. We have just gone live with it a few weeks ago and she's done a presentation, and in building, there's a lot of stuff that has to go into a website, and even just to describing ministries, and she really utilized ChatGPT to give her a brief description of ministry that then she would take and change a few words to make it fit, you know, First Baptist dynamic.
Yeah. So I think AI is being used in ministry. I think we would argue that AI can be used in ministry, but it should be done so ethically. We're not trying to replace the Holy Spirit with AI. We're not trying to take all of the work out of sermon prep.
No, we don't want to replace the preacher either.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we don't want that to happen.
That's the one thing we don't want to happen, yeah.
But we are wanting to use AI as a leverage to answer those emails, to think about maybe some plans for the church, and to develop a one-sentence statement that's going to communicate that. So is AI used in ministry? Yeah, it definitely is, but it should be used in a proper and right way.
So pastors out there, if you are using AI to write your sermon, stop that. It is not to your benefit. It is to your detriment. Use AI ethically. Well, Thomas, this has been a really good discussion. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing some insights of your time as a professor. And we hope that this has helped you in your walk with the Lord. So join us again next time.